I am Lorraine Lewis, and you are listening to me, the lead singer from Vixen, on Sonic Dorms.
My name is Max, and for those that don't know or are unaware, you'll soon be aware of the one and only Lorraine Lewis, who is our very special guest today on today's show on Sonic Dorms. And she is she's fronted bands such as Femme Fatale back in the mid to late 80s. She's now currently the lead vocalist of Vixen. Yes, that's right. The one and only Vixen. Edge of a Broken Heart. Richard Marx, that Vixen. Great, great, great band. But it's incredible now with your vocals, with you leading the band. So welcome to the show, Lorraine. I really appreciate you doing this with me today.
Thank you so much. It's Sunday and I have no place else to be but to hang out with you right now. This is a great thing to be doing on a Sunday. So I'm stoked to be here. Thank you so much for wanting to talk to me. And I really am honored and humbled to be here. So let's go. Yes, I am Lorraine Lewis. Nice to meet you.
The one and only. Nice to meet you. Pleasure. And I have to ask, everyone has a Sonic dorm. Everyone has a room that they grew up listening to music in, or various rooms, I mean, that they listen to music in. Would you mind sharing with me what you were listening to at an early age when you first discovered music?
This is such a great question. The first album I ever had was The Fifth Dimension. My father, I come from a family of six kids, and back in the day, there would be on Sundays, there'd be this offer for like a penny. You could get like five or six albums. And so he let all of us choose something. And I chose Up, and Away by The Fifth Dimension. That album, that is the first album that I got. But later, as I got more influenced by music, I gravitated to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I was really into Linda Ronstadt, really, really liked a kind of a country vibe. I was born and raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico, so it kind of came with the territory, I think. But great songwriters, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. So that was the beginning of my influence. Lynyrd Skynyrd, I got really into. And I used to listen in my bedroom, and just it was 8-track tapes back in the day. So that's where I started listening to music. And then eventually David Lee Roth, Van Halen. I couldn't believe my ears or my eyes. And I really fell in love with David Lee Roth and wanted to be David Lee Roth. So that's kind of, it started kind of, you know, with Fifth Dimension, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, rock and roll, Van Halen, AC/DC, and on it went. And rock and roll is alive and well, and rock and roll will save us all.
That's right. It'll always be there to help us escape from whatever reality we're living in, right? That's the beauty of rock and roll, that it provides us with a feeling of freedom and a certain charming take on rebellion, because it's not really about rebelling in a way that's really negative, right? It's all about embracing rebellion as like a positive. It's about letting loose and really being your ultimate true self, right? That's what I found beautiful about rock and roll early on, is that expressionism that you can carry from it. I think that's wonderful.
What did you start listening to in the beginning? What turned you on?
So like I'm that weird old soul that like happened to be trapped in a younger person's body, that kind of storyline. But, you know, fortunately for me, I had my dad's record collection growing up. And from the second like I was coming out of the hospital, apparently there was music being played that I was being introduced to. And some of it I would gravitate and some of it I wouldn't. But I already had like the ear for it, because very eclectic. It was everything from the Bee Gees to Van Halen to U2 to Queen. Once I discovered Queen, everything was over. Queen became the band that I made the first band that I made like my own. And then I was a huge fan of Adam Ant. I must have been like 5 years old. I was like,
oh yeah,
6 years old. And I was like, those were like my superheroes. You know, I had a VHS compilation of all those great videos that Adam Ant did. And I was like, wow, the visual and the music. And there was this strong character, strong characters. David Lee Roth, strong character. Freddie Mercury, strong character. You know, these people that were larger than life and made the soundtrack to that. Really, that of it's there were like anthems, right? So that's that was really it.
Adam Ant was so hella cool. I mean, Adam Ant was just so different and fresh and just, you know, didn't give a flip what anybody else thought about him. You're a lot younger than I am, but I actually, back in the day, he came through town and my girlfriend hooked up with him. So that, you know, there's all those kinds of stories that come along with the territory of rock and roll, you know, but yeah, Adam Ant, hella cool, hella cool music.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? I was like listening to, let's just say the debut Femme Fatale record came out in 88. One of the things that would always like cling to mind would be like, wow, she could have fronted Van Halen. I mean, if because you have that grit to you to your voice, that rasp and that energy that I felt like would have been very almost like a nice. Not to take anything away from Sammy Hagar or anyone else that was in Van Halen, but to me, your vocals really complement that raw, very like energetic spirit of that of the early, let's just say the early first six records from the Roth fronted albums. So it's funny that you mentioned you being into Van Halen early on.
Oh yeah, David Lee Roth was the coolest. I saw them at Tingley Coliseum in my hometown of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Couldn't believe how cool they were. I stood on my chair the whole night. I was with my brother, who eventually became the bass player of Femme Fatale. And man, I just thought he was so flipping cool. Comes out crotch first, you know, it's like, that's the first thing you see is his crotch. That's just how he walks. And it's just so cool. And I just fell in love with him. I just thought he was dope. And I know a lot of my friends like wanted to go to the hotel and try to hook up with them. And, you know, and I wasn't really interested in hooking up. I just wanted to be that. I wanted to be the music. I wanted to be it. And, you know, I have a lot of girlfriends. I have a lot of stories about, you know, leaving Albuquerque and moving to LA. And all my girlfriends were like, you know, they were hooking up with bands. They were groupies. They were fans of the music and et cetera, et cetera. But I was at rehearsals. I wanted to be the band. I didn't want to be the hookup with the band. And just a huge difference. And, you know, respect for all women and their choices for sure. And we were definitely a crew and a clan. And I owe a lot of the reason that I even got to LA was from one of my girlfriends, Kathy Stanco, a really amazing Italian girl who went to LA to become a dancer. She was a stripper at the Seventh Veil on Sunset Boulevard and one of my best friends. And it was really because of her that she fired me up, and I believed that I could go to LA and I could get a record deal and I could do this, because otherwise, you know, you stay a big fish in a little pond like Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I had kind of grown out of the town, and she knew it. And one night she came to a bar that I was performing at, and she had just gotten back from LA, and she put two shots of Jack Daniels on the table during a break. And she was like, "Girl, there is no chick doing what you're doing in LA. You have to come to LA." We threw back the shot and I was like, okay, I'm doing it. And that's really how it started. That's really how I ended up in Los Angeles, just having the guts and wanting the glory, I guess you could say.
You know, it's funny, just to go back a little bit prior to going to LA, there's a clip on YouTube, I don't know that if you've seen this, of Femme Fatale pre, it seems like it may be pre the move, the big move, or something of that sort, because there's a version of Rebel being performed live, the track Rebel, and it sounds quite different from what ended up on that first album. I mean, it has more of a, almost like a Fleetwood Mac circa 83, 84 kind of vibe to it. So I was just curious, and your voice too, your voice sounds a little bit more, it's not as gritty as it's showcased on, you know, that distinction in your voice that you would carry on once you did come out. So I'm just curious, what was it like for you to develop your voice early on? And was it something that came to you naturally, or was this something that took course over a few years? How did that happen?
It really happened naturally. I think, you know, the whole, you know, if people go back and look at the YouTube videos, I mean, there's some videos of way back when I was in my band, Babe Ruthless, who later became Femme Fatale. which I left all the band members except for the keyboard player. But you can hear my voice was a lot cleaner then. It was a lot, you know, it was nice. It sounded nice and it sounded clean. And I think it was just a matter of evolution. You know, I was doing cover songs. I wasn't doing my own music. So when you're doing a top 40 sound, you try to sound like the artist that you're performing. And so I think that a lot of that clean came from those bands that I was singing like. And then over time, I developed my own sound and my own vibe. And I really was more in your face and held, and didn't hold back and really just owned what my voice was. Now with Vixen, I mean, I do my best to honor Janet Gardner's voice as best as I can, but you're very different singers. But there are times in the songs that I really do take a mental note of how she phrases or the vowel sounds or the way that she shapes her mouth to get a certain sound. And I do my best to do that to honor the song, because that is my job as being the lead singer of Vixen, is to honor the Vixen legacy and to honor the songs as they were recorded. But at the same time, I am myself and I can't sound like anybody other than myself 100%. So I want to honor the songs, but also with being in the band now for 4 or 5 years, I really am making them more my own, because it seems that the audience is digging what I'm doing. But I will hold the notes like she holds them as long as she can. I will do the runs that she does as best as I can. But we are two completely different singers, and I'm just happy to be here and keeping the train rolling along. So I hope that answered your question. It was a development over time. And I think that when I got to LA, my voice was, I was hyped up. I was ready to go. I was rock and roll. And it's like, let's go. And that just kind of came out.
Right. I have to mention, I find it, and I think it's important that I bring this up or I add to this storyline of yours. Because to me, it's really important for people to know just like what the landscape was back in the 80s, as far as like women fronted rock bands. I was talking to a singer named Lee Maddy not too long ago from a band called Romeo's Daughter. And she had a similar story as far as troubles getting through the door, because of there could only be so many female fronted rock bands at the time. And there was like a limitation on it for some odd reason that, you know, I'm not going to go there. But point being, like, I think it's awesome that you actually had the courage and the guts to go out and just chase your dreams in music, and especially rock music, because again, not a lot of that wasn't really being like let in at the time. So I think if you wouldn't mind adding or telling a bit of like, what was your take on that and elaborating a bit more on your stance as a woman in the rock and roll scene in LA in the mid to late 80s.
Yeah, it was definitely wild, because here's the thing about me. I don't give a fuck. So having said that, nothing really could stop me, especially in my late 20s. I was 29 years old. I think the label said that I was 24 or something, because they felt like 29 was too old. So, but I was 29 years old and like, I was fired up. So I didn't really think male, female, or there's going to be a door that's going to not open for me. I did what I wanted to do. And I wasn't afraid. I just was like, there wasn't a concept. But I will say, when I got into it, it was interesting, because I did see it play out. I saw it play out with radio. There would be one female played on a radio station the whole day, one female rock artist. And during the promo tour after getting the record deal, and I would go, and I've told this story before, I hope that people aren't bored by it, but you know, I would go to a radio station, and if I saw Lita Ford's poster on the wall, hey, I'm not going to get this radio station. I already know it. I'll hang out with these radio guys and we'll go have dinner and all this stuff and we'll schmooze and everything, but they're not going to play me, because they're already playing Lita. And it was the same thing with Vixen. If I saw a Vixen poster on the wall, it was like, oh, they got here first. They're not going to play Femme Fatale. But when we got to a radio station, there was nothing on the walls except Guns N' Roses and Def Leppard or what have you. It was like, okay, we have a chance here. And that is how we got radio stations. And that, you know, I don't know, payola, whatever. I don't know all the stuff that went on behind the scenes. I have no idea. I just know that if there wasn't a Lita Ford poster or a Vixen poster, pretty much Femme Fatale was going to get that radio station. But it was ridiculous to think about that. And I think that it still kind of goes on. And we don't have to dig too deep with all of it. You know, I love being a woman. I love men. But at the same time, like, it should be a level playing field for everybody. If you've got the guts and you've got the songs and you've got the drive and you've got the dream to do it, like, you should be unstoppable. Nothing should stand in your way. So I did taste that a little bit just by that kind of scenario. But for the most part, I didn't ever feel rejected. I felt that the doors opened up for me. You know, I was managed by Howard Kaufman. He was a real heavyweight in the business at that time. Gerald Busby, Irving Azoff over MCA Records. I mean, those were my team. And if you Google those names, man, those were the players. Like, I was really fortunate. You know, I always say, like, you know, I'm on a lucky, I'm on a lucky streak. I'm lucky. I'm one lucky bee because I've experienced so many amazing things. You know, this girl from a small town of Albuquerque, New Mexico, I feel really grateful. I'm humbled by it all. It's been a fun, fantastic, wild ride. And I am just happy as hell to be here. And to think, here we are 34, 35 years later, that I've had so many lives and that I get to come back to rock and roll and front one of the most popular all-female bands of all time. You never would have written this back in the 80s. I had no clue that this would ever have happened, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago. This just isn't something that you would think about. And so I'm just, you know, living my best life ever. That's really how I feel.
Would you describe yourself as a self-motivated individual? Because it sounds to me like you've had, like, always had like an inner strength that has helped you propel forward throughout the course of your life, going to you've no doubts just going to move forward the entire time. Is that something that you've had since the beginning?
Pretty much. I'm pretty fearless with everything. Although I will say, you know, I'm insecure just as much as the next person. You know, I have insecurities for sure. I mean, but the older you get, it's like, what have you got to lose? Like, I really feel like I have nothing to lose. But I have always just kind of gone for things. I just, you know, if I get an idea or I have a dream, you know, I just go for it. Same thing with television. You know, I have a career in television. I'm a senior casting producer. I've been with my company that I work for, Renegade 83. I've been with them for 7 years. Before I got that gig, though, I mean, I had just wrapped up Ex-Wives of Rock, a show that I created and was executive producer on. And I thought that was going to keep going for longer. I mean, we had 3 seasons, was awesome. I thought we would have 4, maybe 5. When that was over, there was a time of super insecurity. I didn't know what in the F I was going to do. I applied at Starbucks. Before I got the record deal and when I was living in LA, I was a barista. And so I know how to make some really great foam for a latte. I really know that game really well. So I applied at Starbucks. I was like, okay, $10 an hour, I'm down. You know, bitches gotta work. So I don't know, people might think that I'm a diva. People might think I have a huge ego. They might think whatever, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm pretty basic. I'm pretty down to earth. I had no problem walking into Starbucks and trying to get a gig there. And if it wouldn't have been Starbucks, it would have been someplace else. You know, I've waitressed in my life. I've been a bartender. I've been a cocktail waitress. I've done retail. I've done everything. I've been a bank teller. I mean, you give me a list of jobs, I've pretty much done all of them except for garbage collector. So I have no problem. I mean, we all have to work, and I would have found some good in whatever. If I would have worked at Starbucks, it would have been okay. But the universe kind of helps me and pushes me along. And that wasn't what I was supposed to do. I landed at Renegade 83 Productions, and I love working in television. I'm actually going to be in the field, and there's a show that I helped cast. It's a really big show for a really big major network, not a streaming network. I wish I could tell you who is behind it, but two amazing, huge music stars are behind this show. They came to our company. I helped cast it. And I was just asked last week to be in the field, which I haven't done since Ex-Wives of Rock. So I'm going to be in the field team December 12th and 13th in LA. And I can't wait. You know, boots on the ground with the cast is going to be really fun. So I'm fortunate. I'm lucky. And, you know, it ain't over till it's over, like I say. So I'm just going to keep on doing what I do, and until there's some big major cement block in front of me that says you're done, I'm going to keep doing what I love to do, which is rock and roll and television. So that's it.
Amen.
And who knows? There could be something else that comes along. I have no idea.
That's wonderful. Again, very inspiring, I think, not just to myself to hear stuff like that, but to anybody who happens to listen to this. I think it's amazing to hear about these strong characters that exist, that, you know, really that really believe in themselves. And I think now more than ever, we need to hear these stories. We need to hear about these people for motivation purposes. It's wonderful. But
yeah, I think the bottom line, though, too, is that people need to listen to themselves. And whatever it is that you think, you know, like I have girls that message me a lot. Like, they're like, I really want to be in a rock and roll band, or I really want to be a clothing designer, or da da da. And my mom is saying this, and my dad is saying this. And I get that. I don't really get it, because I'm not a parent. So I don't really get that. I've never had children, but I know that parents want what's best for their kids. But I feel that kids know what they want. Kids know what is inside of them. They know more about themselves than their parents do. So I just always give advice. I follow your dream, go for it, do whatever. And it's not going to be easy. You have to work your ass off. I mean, if you look at a career like Jennifer Lopez, she works her ass off. You know, people can say, oh, she's got the nanny and she's got the da-da. Yeah, okay, whatever. No, that woman works hard. Hard. And all of them do. Madonna, you know, Cher, all of them. And I just feel like if you know what you want and you really want it, go for it. And it might change, and it might, you know, you might, like, I always thought I wanted to be on a reality TV show, but I found much more joy being behind the scenes. So you never know what your dream will morph into. So I just say, go for it. Go for it.
Wonderful. And I'm sure you're tired of being asked this question, but what is the status on the new Vixen material?
I know. I am so tired. You were so right. Oh my God. Okay. So I didn't make a mistake. I was just excited at the beginning of summer, because I had already gone in and done my vocals, laid down my vocals for a new song for Vixen. And I don't know, in Lorraine world, if it's just Lorraine world, it's happening fast. So, but it's not Lorraine world, it's Vixen world. And so, you know, there's a lot of elements that have to come together. And so it has been mixed. It is now being mastered. I just heard it last week. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited. So I don't know when it's going to be released. Look, we're coming around the end of the year. So is it going to be released this year? Most likely not. That just doesn't sound realistic. 2023 for sure. So let me go on the record to say Vixen is releasing a single in 2023. Damn it. I don't know when or anything else. I know that we've talked about doing a video for it. I hope so, because that just sounds so much like so much fun to do. And I'm really excited to do the song live. I think that we're going to start, you know, and we all went in and did our part separately. So now the band's going to come together and strip it down, put it back together and rework the song. And then I hope we can start doing it in the sets that we do. That would be really hella cool. But I'm hoping that everybody digs it. And I'm just excited. And then we have been working on other stuff. We were in Boston. There was a song that I had written. I would love to tell titles, but I'm just going to play it safe and say, no, I'm not going to tell you the title. But we worked on it, laid it down. It sounds really good as well. I don't know exactly what the plan is for that. Julia brought something to the band that we all really liked, and I'm hoping that we're going to record that. Britt and I have worked on a lot of music together. We've got a lot of stuff ready to go. Roxy works all the time on music. So it's just a matter of time, you know? I mean, we have become a pretty well-oiled machine live up to this point. Adding Julia, you know, as well. She's been with us since January, I believe, February. So we're a machine on stage. So now we just need to transcend that into the studio and with new music. But I'm feeling really good about what's going on for sure.
That's fantastic news. Are you, again, not to get too ahead here, but thinking about an EP or an album, a full album at some point? Or I heard there was an idea of re-records of some of the older Vixen songs from the catalog with your voice on them. Of course,
I've actually recorded Edge of a Broken Heart, How Much Love, and You Ought to Know. I've recorded all three of those with my vocals. So I'm not really sure what the plan is, but I think that we would like to record, you know. Oh, and I did Rev It Up too. So we've got a lot of stuff ready to go. I think that, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, this is Roxy's baby. You know, Roxy's the original member now. And so whatever she wants is what we're gonna do. And I know that she has a lot of good ideas and a lot of good plans, and she's talking about, you know, videos and this and that. So it's just a matter of time. You know, I think things slow down for holiday time. We've got one more show this year, December 17th in Wisconsin, Green Bay, with Warrant and Fight Riot. And then, you know, take a little time off in January, unless shows start coming in on January. And then, you know, we start revving up for tour season, you know, March. I know we're doing the 80s cruise. We're going to be doing, we're going to Australia. That just got confirmed yesterday. We're going to Brazil. There's a lot of things cooking. And man, I couldn't be more proud that the machine is going. It's working. People are digging it. And that feels really good. You know, it really sucked if I would have joined the band and everything fell apart. So this feels good. So we're just going to keep it rocking and rolling as long as we can.
Great. And again, I know you can't say much, but you did work with Fred Corey, correct?
We did. Yeah. I really liked working with Fred. Fred was amazing. He's a genius and he is a perfectionist. And I was just flattered at the text messages that he sent me when I had left the studio and telling me good things about my voice. That was really cool. So that made me feel really good. So I like Fred. I would work with him again. I mean, we've dabbled in a couple other songs as well. So we'll see what the future holds.
It's great. Yeah, no, I don't think he gets enough credit because, you know, a lot of people still see him as the drummer from Cinderella, but he has dabbled in the production world within the last decade or so. And I mean, he's working with John 5, Nikki 6 on a bunch of things. So I think he's a fantastic talent, all around great. But just to let you know, you have added edge to Vixen. I love what you brought to the table, to the band. The second that you were announced as the vocalist, this was 2019, I believe. I believe there was, you know, footage coming out of you fronting the band. And I immediately said, yep, that's it. It was an immediate, kind of reminded me of, in a similar way, about 12 years prior to that, when Mark Tornillo from TT Quick joined Accept, And it just gave the band a rejuvenated sense of punch that I feel like, no, again, not to take away from what came before, but I really do appreciate what your vocal chops have brought to the table.
Thank you. That makes me feel really good. That's the best thing I've heard all day. And I just do my thing up there. And I, you know, we have so much fun together. We just really dig each other. I have mad respect for Roxy as a drummer. She's a powerhouse. She's a monster drummer. Really good with, you know, she's not a typical drummer that I've worked with before that doesn't have a song sensibility. She really has a song sensibility about her. She's well-versed. She's trained. She's a musically trained musician. I have mad respect for her. Julia Lage, we were talking the other day about jobby jobs that we've had. I've done every job on the effing planet. Everything, like I said before. The only job that Julia Lage has had is playing bass her whole life. She's never waitressed. She's never did Starbucks. She's played bass. So you got to respect that. And you know, she's the real deal. Britt Lightning. Oh my God. One of my favorite people on the planet. She's an amazing guitar player. So good. So spot on with her solos. Creative. Just feels it, lives it, breathes it. She's the real deal as well. And I couldn't be more happy to be with these badasses on stage. You know, there'll be times where Britt will do some amazing solo and we just like look at her and I'm just like, ah, I love you. Like that's amazing. And we high five and it's the best time you could ever have on stage. And I hope that other bands experience this kind of love and respect for each other because it's real. And I do think it elevates our performance because we're just so happy to be there, you know, and especially when you run out and there's a packed house. I mean, there's nothing better than that.
It's transparent. And funny to mention that there's a lot of bands that people are unaware of that, you know, they'll get up on stage and put on a great show, but beyond that, there's really no relationship there. So I think it's amazing to see that union and for it to be so genuine and that you are actually friends and that you actually do hang out. And it really is like a gang, you know, and I think that's really cool. That's almost like a unique thing to see nowadays, but I think that's awesome.
Yeah. But, I really love them. They're amazing. They're just amazing girls. I'm going to be back in LA, December 8th through the 14th. I'm going out there for like dentist appointments and stuff, and I'll be staying at Britt's. You know, we're going to be at the Beverly Hills Hotel and having martinis with Julia and just raise all sorts of hell together. Right. It'll be fun. That's what we do.
So to wrap things up here, just would like to say once again, thank you for taking the time to do this with me. And also new music next year. And it sounds like next year is going to be incredibly kick-ass for Vixen. A lot of activities, potentially a music video for the new single, which would be great. I'm very excited. And thank you for sharing your story here in Sonic Dorms. It's an inspiring one and one that I think a lot of people should hear and get motivated by because we really should just listen to our hearts and follow our dreams and whatever it is that we feel is necessary for ourselves, correct?
Absolutely. And you never know when it's going to happen, right? So look at this. I left Albuquerque to get a record deal. I got a record deal. I was on MTV. I toured with Cheap Trick. I did all sorts of stuff. I went, you know, outside of the U.S. and performed. And that was the best life ever. And then life did different things. You know, I've been married a million times and, you know, never had children, but I lived life and done this and that and the other thing. And then here you are. I just turned 64 in September and I'm fronting one of the most popular all-female bands of all time. So your timing might not be the timing of the universe or what is supposed to happen. I mean, like I said before, who would have thought this was ever going to happen? I didn't. Roxy didn't. We had no clue this was in the cards. So your timing might not be with what is going to happen. But if you just keep doing it, I mean, I can say I'm a success story. You know, I made my my shit happened. Like, it's happening. It's happening. It's not, didn't happen. It happened definitely when I was 29, 30 years old, but, you know, not when I was 35 or 40, but God, here we are. I mean, this is wild. So, you know, it's crazy. So you just never know when, what, where, what. I don't know, shapes, changes, whatever. But man, just keep believing in yourself. Keep being kind to people. Don't say stupid shit on social media to people that brings them down when they have an idea. Like, that drives me fucking crazy. Can't stand it when people do that. It's sad to me. Lift people up and just keep living and loving and going for it and being kind to people. And, you know, lastly, I will say I am a lover of people. I don't like everybody always. Some people get on my nerves for sure. I mean, I'm human, but for the most part, I love humans. I love humanity, gay, straight, bi, LGBTQ, political sides, I don't care. I love people. And I am all inclusive with the love that I have for people. And I am so grateful that people follow me on Instagram, Lorraine Lewis Rocks. That's me. My website, LorraineLewisRocks.co. And Vixen_band on Instagram. I'm just thankful that people show up to the shows, that people dig what I do. And again, rock and roll will save us all. So thank you so much.
Amen. No, thank you. And again, Sonic Dorms has been active for now 2 years. It's a brand that I'm really trying to build out, grassroots and an all-inclusive music network for, you know, artists, young, old, any genre, all around the world. Doesn't matter. We're here to talk music, be passionate about it, and treat it with respect. Because to me, and use it as a platform for artists that continue to create quality, sophisticated, wonderful, whatever it is, great music. I believe we need more networks for music. I feel like we need more forums for music to showcase how powerful it is to communicate that forward. And whether that be through your podcast or whatever it is, streaming and wherever you do your shows, YouTube and whatnot, I think it's important that we have more forums to talk music. And so everybody that has had the, you know, has been willing to join me here on Sonic Dorms, I really, really gladly appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Extra special because you're helping move this thing, this project of mine forward. So I really appreciate your time and for being so considerate. And of course, for just being a humble, incredibly awesome human being. So all the best to you, really.
Thank you.